Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, give God another praise. Man, I listen, I want you to hear you tell you something that God has been speaking on our hearts about how that the enemy tries to get you off course. Amen? He tries to disrupt what God is doing because he knows there's power in right here. There's an investment right here. Come on, look to your neighbor and say, there's an investment here. Here's an investment. Hallelujah. He has invested everything into you and into me. Amen? Into his body. He's invested everything. Come on, amen? He's held nothing back. Amen? So I want to share with you tonight. I want you to see this in Revelations. You going to help me? I know you will help me tonight. And we're going to make some noise tonight. Is that all right? Come to church. Amen. Stretch those vocal cords. Amen. We went to a concert last night, and that, man, it was awesome, man. It was really great. Amen. So, listen, Revelations 1:6 says this, and I just don't know if you know this or not, but I'm going to tell you something. Amen. I'm going to give you something in your heart to hear this and to grab hold of this and to believe it and just take hold of it in your heart. Amen. It says, he hath made us kings and priests unto God. Hallelujah. He has made us. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm sitting beside royalty. Oh, come on. Someone didn't believe that tonight. Come on. You're looking at your husband or you're looking at your wife. And you're. I want you to say, come on. Amen. Let's say it again. I'm sitting beside royalty. Come on. Amen. I'm sitting beside royalty. Hallelujah. Because he has made. He has made you kings and priests unto God. Amen. That he has made us. I want you to know that God has saved you. He just didn't save you from something. This is a beautiful thing about this that I realized. And I know I want you to know that God shook me up and caused me to realize that he saved me from a drug addiction. Come on. Amen. He set me free from many things in my life, but he just didn't set me free from something. But I began to get the revelation that he set me free for something. Hallelujah. See, I want you to know, the enemy wants you, he's okay with you just being, feel like you're just happy just being a Christian, that you're good to go, you punched the ticket. But I want you to know, the enemy does not want you to have the information about who you really are, that you were saved for something. Hallelujah. You have purpose in your life, you have direction in your life, and it comes from him and him alone. Amen? And we begin to stand upon that, our sure foundation in Jesus Christ, realizing and just saturating and realizing what he did for me, amen, and the authority that he's placed in me, the investment that he's placed within this person, amen, that he's placed. So I want you to look at the other, come and look at somebody else and say, you're royal. Royal. Come on, I'm going to bring some crowns and put some crowns on some of you. And then rumors will fly. Yeah, they're wearing crowns over there. Family worship. What are they doing? He says, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. And I want you to know, if you didn't believe it, he says it again. He declares it again in Revelations 5:10. And thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Where? On the earth. Hallelujah. He has a plan and a purpose, amen, to be delivered and be declared in the earth, right here, right now. And I want us to get this and grab hold of this, that he has to declare it in your earth. Tell your neighbor, in my earth. Right here. Answer it, man. You don't know, man. The Holy Spirit could be calling you. Amen. Come on. Amen. Listen. So I want you to catch this and see this. He's mad. Praise and worship's over. Come on. Y'all should be like that. So I want you to take a hold of this. Amen. To reign on the earth. And the Bible declares in Ephesians 1. I want to go over the scripture that it declared last week. Did you enjoy last week? Amen. I hope that began to stir your hearts for this week. And to move in what God's speaking to our hearts. Ephesians 1. And it says, which he has brought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on the right hand in heavenly places. Say heavenly places. Far above principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name. Say every name. Come on. Sometimes we need to name some of those things. Amen. They want to be undercover and be hidden. But there's some things that God wants us to declare and name some things. It's important for us to be vocal. Come on, amen. It's important for us to declare some things. There's some things that you might be struggling. I want you to know that when we can begin to realize that God wants His kingdom to reign in the earth, He begins with you right here. Come on, amen. That the scripture was declared that He says, I want you to go, amen. I want you to go into Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. I want you to bring that down to you right now. Come on, amen. Because none of you are in Samaria or Judea. But I want you to see this and understand something, that Judea was right where they lived. Come on, amen? Say it was their hometown. It was where they were living. Come on, it's right here. Point to your neighbor. Say, it's right here. Come on, it's right here. It's where I live. And God wants to begin to declare those things over where you are, principalities and powers, things that try to separate you or get you off course in your thinking, in your mind. Come on, and trying to pull you in different directions. Amen? You guys got to be louder than the babies. And above every name. And that's why I said it's important that God wants to reveal those names. Sometimes there's some things that can cause disruptions in our lives, that our heart, we need to be at a place where that we're submitting unto God to let God begin to cause those things to be pulled down. Amen? To be broken up in our lives. That they don't cause separation. They don't cause anxieties in our life and stress. But God has given us the authority. Amen? And He says, and is named not only in this world, but also that which is to come. He says, not only in this time, come on, say right now, but in that which is to come. I want you to know that God is working. There's a release within every one of us that God's still working on me. Amen? He's still working in our lives. God's moving within us. God's shaping us and molding us. He's developing us. I want you to see, understand that David had three anointings. He had three anointings. Come on, you all know that? He had three anointings. I want you to know that every one of those anointings were a specific assignment. They came not all at one time. But whatever that anointing came was for that moment, for what he needed. I want you to realize that God has anointed you for an assignment, and that anointing is enough. It's enough. That anointing that He has upon me is enough. And I want you to know that every time I begin to take hold of the anointing, the first anointing that came upon Him, I want you to know that He stepped out on the battlefield and defeated a giant. And the anointing that He got upon His life defeated that giant. Amen? Come on, amen. It was nothing that He did. It was the anointing that was graced upon Him to defeat that giant. To begin to walk this out. And I want you to know that He could have ran, He could have turned, He could have bailed out, but He didn't. He took the anointing that was with Him and walked. I want you to know that what you have, that anointing you got in you, is enough to get through what you're going through right now. We got to realize and know that. Come on. Not like we're looking for some what you have right now. Come on, amen. Whatever's in you. Greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. Come on. He's enough. He's enough in my life right now. Right now. Come on, amen. Right now. Come on, we wait sometimes for this. Sometimes we wait for a super emotional moment in our lives to get through something, but it's right now. We got to take hold of what we have right now. That I am a king, win now. I'm anointed now. I'm a priest unto God, win now. Come on, not some other day. Come on, not some other day, but right now. I'm seated with Him in the heavenlies. So I want us just to grab hold of that tonight and see that. And just begin to grab that. But the enemy tries to disrupt you. He tries to get you off course. And we're going to take a look tonight with David. I want to share with you a little bit about David and about how that the enemy tries to disrupt him. But I want to see how, show you how mighty our God is. Amen? Do you believe that tonight? I got to get a drink. Hang on. We're going to take a look at this. we can see that David was anointed king. Amen? He was anointed king. He was anointed for something. We all right? I want you to get this. David was anointed king. I want you to see and understand something that God was working through his life. God was revealing himself through every different anointing of who he was to David. And about him becoming king. I want you to see that sometimes in our lives, we hear what I'm saying here tonight, that I'm a king and priest unto God. We hear that. But because maybe we don't have that crown, or maybe because things around us aren't the way that we think it should be in the kingdom. Come on. Maybe because of portrayal, or maybe because of the things that are around us or that pop up in our lives. Sometimes I want you to know that there's moments in your lives, there's different times in your life where that you literally feel the cape of being a king blowing in the wind. And you're at the moment where there's moments in your life where you're saying, I believe I can fly. You're spiritually accelerating. And you believe it right now, man. You got this in your heart. I want you to know that David's right there, man. He just killed this giant, cut his head off, stuck it on a pole post and said, there you go. And before he knew it, he was being disrupted from his purpose or from the course that God had for him, that declared from him from the beginning. Amen? I want you to see this and understand this, that sometimes we get in our moment, we get in life, and life things happen around us. But I want you to know that we have to remind it, and you need to be reminded that we are kings and priests unto God. Amen? Come on, it doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. Come on, it doesn't matter what's happening around us. We got to realize what's happening within us. And I want you to see that this is the one virtue that David had, that he realized that anointing that God gave him was enough for what he was going through. Come on, amen? That it was going to get through. It might not have seemed like it, because the first time he turned around, the first time he got around the corner, it was being disrupted of his pathway to the kingdom. And even in his mind, I'm telling you, even in his mind, the enemy will try to disrupt your thinking. Come on, amen. Your flesh will get in the way. It'll cause you to think that maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm not called to do this. Maybe I don't know if I can do this. Everything's against me and not for me. So here he was. Here he's in this place, and the first, he begins to conquer, have some victories, and he's beginning to do the right thing. Tell your neighbor, doing the right thing. And you know what? Daggone it. Here's the enemy coming. He's flying. He got his cape blowing. And the enemy will come and try to disrupt that, because as soon as he began to do that, they began to chant. Nobody was doing this deceivingly, but they were cheering for David because he killed his thousands. And Saul killed his hundreds. But I want you to know that those moments, right, it caused something to enter into Saul's heart. To try to derail. The enemy opened that moment right then and there. I want you to know that just as the enemy can use things, come on, for evil, God can use things for good. Come on, amen. For his purpose and for his plan. And as much as the enemy was working behind the scene, God's got it covered if you stay in the anointing. If you stay in the anointing that is placed upon you for that moment right now. Don't try to be the king that you aren't yet. Just stand in that moment right there with what you have. Because I want you to know that even Saul tried to disrupt it when he began to put upon him his armor. Here's David. He has this big helmet on. It's a big helmet. Saul was a big man. He had this big breastplate on. He has these shields. And here's David trying to carry what was placed upon him from somebody else. And I want you to know that something rested him. I believe, I know it was God speaking to him that the anointing within you is enough. Come on, amen. You don't need something else. The anointing within you. The enemy tries to get, well, you know what? You need to add this to your life more. I want you to know he's enough. You get that tonight? Come on, I want you to know that those moments, I want you to recognize that sometimes in those moments that God is developing a king. I want you to know that God's developing something within you and me as being priests and kings unto Him. He's developing something within me right now. Come on, amen. It's not time to waste a moment, but to take hold of it and let God begin to do what He needs to do within my heart. Because I want you to know, He was the kind, because at that moment, David could have been puffed up. He could have took hold of the pride, but he stayed in the anointing. Come on, amen. Come on. He stayed in the anointing that was upon him. He didn't step outside of that anointing and begin to get in the pride and feel good. That's what we do sometimes. Come on, amen. That you feel good about that moment and you begin to get in that moment and live in that moment and not in that anointing. God help us. So he went on and we could see that David kept worshiping and blessing God. Come on, amen. He stayed in the anointing. And it's so irritating. You know what? The enemy gets so irritated. He gets so irritated when you turn your ear to him. Come on, amen, because he's threatened by you. Come on. And as soon as something came upon Saul and he took the javelin and whipped it, man, David was becoming so annoying with his praise and worship. Spirit, break out. He sings that for it one more time. It might catch fire within him. So David's singing and Saul's so irritated he takes a javelin and whips it. But David stepped outside of it. Why? Because he was in the anointing. Come on, amen. It passed by him. I want you to know that sometimes we step into things that we shouldn't step into. If we would just stay in that anointing, hallelujah, that's provided for me. Stay within what God has for me right now. Just stay in that moment, hallelujah. He was in that presence. He was taking hold of who God was in him right now, moving in his heart. And he was listening to the voice of God. He was grabbing hold of it. And every time he turned around, he was disrupted. And we can look and we can walk through there. I wrote down all these different things that happened. David slipped out of the presence of the enemy. He disrupted the enemy's plans. Come on, amen. I want you to hear that. I shared this a couple weeks ago, I shared it with some friends about how that the enemy tried to disrupt my life. And I remember one time that somebody called from the church I was at that one of the young boys, as I was the youth leader, was in the emergency room and they thought he was dying. And as I got in the car, I began to feel the presence of God declare life. I mean, that's just common sense. You're going there, someone you think's dying, and you just go with the flow. Just go with the flow. Come on. Just go with the flow. Come on, amen. And let it build up within you, amen. And as I was driving closer, I just felt it all over me. Come on, amen. Every time I felt death, come on, I don't know if you've ever felt that before, but you felt that darkness come and try to knock in, but I began life and light and begin to just let it erupt in me because everything around me felt dark and endless and hopeless. Come on, amen. And the enemy gets threatened by you when you begin to do that. And you stir God within your hearts. And the closer I got to the hospital, I just felt that. And I walked in there and the kid's sitting up in bed. I thought, yeah, there you go. You be God. And as soon as I got in my car and left that place, I began to drive back home. And as I was driving home, I felt the same thing come upon me again. And I couldn't understand it because I thought maybe I need to go back again. But I just kept declaring life. I kept praying in the Spirit and began to just take that anointing that was there right there and began to just minister to God and just lift Him up and just declare life. And as I was driving down the road, all of a sudden, I want you to know, the enemy's trying to disrupt what God has. Come on, amen. He's trying to disrupt it and derail it. And I'm driving up the road, and all of a sudden, coming toward me was a car that was out of control, and he was spinning back and forth. And he took off to the side, and he hit a tree, and it exploded. I'm not making this up. Am I making this up? No, that's true. And it smashed, and I drove past it because I was... Like, what just happened? And as I got past it, I jumped out of the car and I ran back. And in the middle of the road was a young man standing with no shoes on. I'm like, what in the world? I said, dude, I said, the car's on fire. I said, do you know where he is? He says, it was my car. It was that young man. He got thrown from the car, got his shoes knocked off, and he didn't know how he got there. I want you to see something. And at that moment, I'm thinking, wow, God, this is awesome. But I didn't realize that all through those moments right there, I wasn't just interceding for them, but I realized when I got back in my car, a part of the steering column went through my windshield and was laying on the seat. Sitting on the seat beside my car. And I didn't realize it until I got back in again. I want you to know that I was declaring something, hallelujah, that I was in that anointing declaring life for my life. I want you to know that we are kings and priests unto God. Listen, I want you to know that there's sometimes people's lives are cut short and they shouldn't be cut short. Come on, amen. We just got to grab hold of that understanding. I want you to know that sometimes things happen. We don't always understand them, but I just need to stand that anointing for that moment that I'm in right now. Come on, amen. That anointing. So David was continually being disrupted and he began to run from Saul. He went the opposite way of the throne. I want you to know that's got a weigh on somebody. I want you to know that sometimes you feel like you're going the complete opposite way. You feel like you don't have much. You feel like you don't have much of anointing. I want you to know the anointing's still on you. Come on, amen. The anointing's still on you. It doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside because the anointing's on the inside. So as he began to run, as he began to go to these different places, he ended up in a cave. I want you to know the enemy wants to get you in a cave. He wants to disrupt what God's doing. He wants you to get you in a cave because in a cave, it's dark. In the cave, the only voice that you hear is whose? And that's the worst thing to hear sometimes, is your own voice. Because it'll tell you how bad things are. But there's an inner voice. Come on, amen? There's the Holy Spirit that's within you. And David began to listen to it. And at that moment, I want you to know that God began to send what he needed for that moment. And it's about ready to get the second anointing upon his life. Because he's never let the enemy disrupt what God had planned. He didn't step outside of the anointing. He stayed within the anointing and was letting God bring him to where he needed to be. Because God was working something out of his life. God was working something, whether it was the pride, whether it was the fear of things, whether it was, hey, listen, this guy was betrayed. I want you to know sometimes betrayal was one of the worst things that will get you in a cave and keep you there. I just heard a story of one of my friends. Man, that man just breaks my heart. I'm not going to get into it. But it shouldn't be that way. Come on, amen. It shouldn't be that way. But as he was in that place, that God began to set what he needed. And he began to send some misfits. Come on, some of you, I want you to hear this tonight because you're going to repent. Because God will begin to send some misfits. Some of those ones that don't seem like they're in the right place. Come on, amen. Maybe feel like they might not fit with you. I want you to hear this. Amen. Let me find it. Hang on. Help me out here. Where am I at? Here we go. I'm sorry. 22. I have it written down right there too. And it says, and David therefore departed, and he escaped to the cave of Adullam. I want you to know that here comes the opportunity to let faith disrupt disappointment. To let faith disrupt betrayal. To let faith disrupt anger. To let it begin to move us. Instead of us building a camp and locking the doors and staying in that place and missing out on what God saved me for. Come on, amen. You with me tonight? So he says, and And he says, and he escaped to the Adullam. And when his brother and all his father's house heard it, they went down unto him. And everyone, say everyone, what that was distressed. Everyone that was in debt. I want you to know that you don't know what you need, but God knows what you need. Come on, amen. Those that are in debt. Those that are disconnected. Discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became the captain over them. And there were with him about 400. I want you to know, listen, I want you to see and understand something, that what God sends you in that moment, that we have to trust and know that we can't understand what this is for. How will I ever get through this thing? How am I ever going to make it through? But what you have in that moment will get you through that. I want you to know some of the most... Listen, for a seed to grow, there's something has to disrupt it. I want you to know that sometimes the enemy will just go ahead and let the enemy... He'll disrupt some things. But our God's bigger. Because we are in this world, not of this world. And I'm telling you, things happen. I'm a pastor, and I see it all the time to good people. And I wonder in my mind, why are these things happening sometimes? I want you to know that it's a faith moment. It's a disruptive moment for the glory of God if we let it be that. If we let it be a faith moment, hallelujah, a disrupting against what the darkness has, and let the light shine in the midst of it. Come on, amen? In the midst of chaos, God spoke into darkness and he said, let there be light. Well, there's moments in your life that we got to let that light shine in our hearts and break us out of those moments. So here he was at this place. But we got to recognize that a seed for it to grow, that the ground has to be disturbed. And it's in those moments sometimes it doesn't always feel right. It's in the moments where God sent all the disconnected, all the ones that you don't know how. I don't know how I'm going to make it through with these people. But it's in those moments that you got to stand in those moments that God's disrupting things the way you think it should be in that moment. Let God be God. And as the ground is stirred up and broken up, I want you to know that God was breaking up some things in David so that something could grow. So that something could grow. Because if he couldn't break out of those things, he wasn't ready for the next anointing that was coming. Come on. Sometimes we go through circles and cycles in our lives that we got to break out of. We got to let God disrupt it. We got to step in his faith, not knowing how it's going to, but stay in that faith, stay in that anointing in that moment to let God disrupt it. Let God be God. We're not always understand it, but letting God be God. Amen? So David went to a cave to avoid betrayal. And everybody that he didn't think would fit with him came. That's the way God does things. See, God doesn't look at the outside. But here's the thing. I want you to know, somewhere inside David, when they begin to show up, it doesn't say this, but we're all people. Come on, we're... As they all began to show up, I bet you David just began to look. But I want you to know that God began to arrest him in his heart to remind him, what did I tell Samuel to tell you? It's not on the outside, but it's within a man. I want you to know that God brought him back and he stepped in that faith in that moment to say, oh, God, I know what you did in me. A 15-year-old kid, I took down a giant and began to look at those ones around him and say, what can you do with them? What can you do? You brought them here for this moment. Let the anointing flow. Come on, just let it flow. Amen? All right. So let's go here. Here's the last place of this story with David that really... I want you to know that it was over 22 years before he became king. He was anointed king, but until he really stepped in the reality of it was 22 years. Spent the first 15 years on the run from Saul. Come on, amen. That's a long time. But I want you to know that God was doing something. It was value time. God was working something within him that was eternal. Listen, so here we are in 1 Samuel 30, and I love the scripture because this is a powerful, this is things that we can relate in our lives, how that we could see things. And I want you to see, I want God to get the glory, how that the enemy will try to disrupt you, but if we stay in the anointing and stay in the faith, then guess what? That God will dismantle it on His own. I talked to a lady today, Karen. You all know Karen. Listen, last week she prayed an anointed prayer over me. Just prayed, and she can't come to church. She's not able to get up right now to get up here. She has lost her leg. Amen. Listen, this lady has a ministry. She has over 18 people in her life center. Every time you have more than three people, they have to send in staff. So she's not only getting those ones that want to come, but those that don't want to come. So here they are. They're coming. They're showing up, and there's not even any seats. She can't even get through her message because everybody keeps piling in. So she's so fired up in this, what God's doing in her life. And she's staying in the anointing that God gave her. Come on, amen. She's not wishing she had two legs, but she's taking hold of the anointing that God's in her with one leg. Come on, I love it. It inspires me. So she's praying over me. She's praying. She's like fired up, you know. And I get home that night. And 11 o'clock at night, she gets a knock on her door. And she goes to the door. Karen, are you going to the door? She don't care. She looked out and here was a young lady. She goes, oh, man, opportunity. She opened up the door and a girl came inside. She came inside. She goes, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my dad lives right down the road. But she began to share this and... That's all right. I share this, right? I'm good. I share this, right? She don't care. So she begins to bring this lady in. She sits down. She's offering her cookies. Do you want some lemon cookies? And she gives her some cookies. She makes some tea. And she begins to preach about Jesus. I'm like, she didn't have to tell me she was preaching about Jesus because it's in her. And she's beginning to preach to this. Hallelujah. Listen, she's ministering to this young girl. And as she went into the other room... She came out and she was just acting a little funny and she got a hold of her friend, whatever, and then they came and they picked her up and she looked over her purse and all of a sudden she looked, the flap was open, she looked inside, $200 was taken out of it. And immediately she says, God, let me forgive her. See, I want you to know, that's what I mean by staying in the anointing. Because that moment, woo, come on, amen, you want to grab your sword, run out the window. Or door, it's easier. But run out the door, get out there, run them down, chase them down, and get your $200 back. But I want you to know, she chose to get on her knees and begin to pray salvation into that girl. Hallelujah. She began to let God destroy. I want you to know that she was always praying for God to bring somebody in her life. Little did she know she'd bring a robber into her life. Come on, amen. But that girl, just as much as someone else, needs Jesus. Hallelujah. And if she's going to steal something off you, it's okay because God's got it covered. Because guess what happened yesterday? Somebody called her up and say, hey, I found out you got this money taken from you. I'm bringing $200 over to your house tomorrow morning. This is what I mean. Stay in the anointing because, listen, it's in the anointing that favor flows. Come on. It's in that moment of grace that God wants to put on you. And she didn't step out of it and get into her anger, get into the cave of Adullam and shut the door. But she stayed in the anointing and God stepped in and says, I got this. And still in the same hand, she told the police when they left, listen, can you do me one favor? Can you please let me know when they capture her? Because I'm going to go pray for her. What a story. You see this lady walking in with one leg coming in there. You just stole from her. And she's coming in to pray with you and tell her, I love you. See, the enemy won't want you to have that anointing. Because it breaks things. Changes things. So here it is. Here's David. He's in this. Let me just try to finish this real quick. You okay? He says, and here's David trying to... He's doing his thing. He's trying to stay in the anointing where he's at. And he comes back home to something he wasn't expecting. And it's the unexpected moments that try to derail you. But what am I going to do in that moment? Come on. Because I want you to know that it's eternal, those moments. I want you to hear this. Those are eternal moments. Right now, those moments that we choose, what am I going to do? The Bible says, choose life. Hallelujah. I put before you life and death. Choose life. Choose this anointing. Amen? So he says this, and he says, and it came to pass when David and his men, the misfits, come on. He says, and they came to Ziklag on the third day. Say third day. Man, that speaks of death, burial, and resurrection. Amen? Come on, I want you to know that, listen, unfortunately, there was this one last place that David was dying out of something. Something was going to die. But I want you to know where that if this thing was able to be knocked off David, cut off David, maybe it was the one thing that he was holding back in his heart from God. Gave everything. But this one moment, the third day, speaks of death, burial, and resurrection. But I want you to know, if we're willing to be cut and let things sometimes fall off that try to habitate our life, try to stay in control, if we let that thing, there's resurrection is coming. Amen? There's a resurrection coming. Hallelujah. And we're going to let Him arise in the midst of it. No longer I that liveth, but Christ lives in me. And He says, and He had taken the woman captives. And it goes all down. He says, and it took his wives. And He says, and behold, they burned the houses. And David and the people that were there lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power. How many of you have ever been there? Come on, show of hands that you have wept until you had no more power. Till you could not cry no more. Come on, amen. Those that haven't, come counsel me after. I have cried sometimes till my belly hurt. I have laid and begged for God to change my situation until I hurt within me. This is that moment right here that he had with it. I want you to know that this is that moment where it would change history. Come on, amen. Tell someone it's changing history. It'll change history. It'll change history. But I want you to know that God has an investment, hallelujah, that what he has in him is enough to get out of this thing. So he began to weep. He began to cry out. But I want you to know that, listen, I want you to see this. He says, and David began to weep. And David's two wives, he mentions their knives. One of them was Ahinom and Abigail. And Ahinom means grace. It means grace. And Abigail means joy. Do you know what grace is? God's unmerited favor. It is God's unmerited favor upon my life. It is God's grace and God's strength in any environment, in any situation that I take hold of that can break me out of it. It is God's abilities in the midst of my inability. It is God being God, hallelujah. In a sense of my destruction and hurt and pain, it is God showing up in the midst of it and taking over. And the joy. I want you to know that, listen to me, if you get to a place where that you have stop in the, walking in the grace of God and what God can do, and you walk in that power and authority, the enemy doesn't like that. And if you begin to get your joy interrupted, see, this is what the enemy was trying to do. It was trying to disrupt the way that he's seen God's favor upon his life. Because at that moment, do you know what happens? I want you to get this. At that moment where he could have thought and enters into any one of your minds, when something negative happens upon your life, what do you say? Don't you love me? Come on. Y'all being real? When a negative situation, why did God do this? Why did God do this? Why did God do this? Come on, I've asked that question before. But I want you to know the enemy can step in the midst of that. I want you to know that you can't stay in that moment. You can't stay in that moment. You can't settle in that moment right there. Because if you stay there too long, you'll begin to believe it, that God's not with you. Come on, He'll rob you of your joy, and you'll lay there and begin to mourn. But I want you to know that He turns your mourning into joy. Hallelujah. He'll turn your mourning into joy. And that's what grace does. Hallelujah. If you let it come upon you, if you let that anointing take over in the midst of a situation. And that's what David decided to do. Amen? I'm almost done. Come on up so I can start landing. Come on, say, we're landing. And David was distressed. He was distressed because the people began to speak negative about him. I want you to know that we cannot let the opinions of others change our decision to where we're going. We cannot let the opinions of others change, hallelujah, change the direction that we go. Amen? You okay? Can't make decisions based on popular opinion. That's what Saul did. He based it upon popular opinion instead of basing it upon His. Lord, what's Your will? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. See, where You are, God, this, where I live right here, everything I own is gone, God. Everything I own is disrupted. Those I love were taken from me. God knows it. But God doesn't leave you there. And David knew that. He didn't know how. He didn't know how it could happen, how this was going to be possible. But he knew a thing called anointing. And he wanted to seek God's opinion. And it says that David, listen, I want you to say this. He says, but David. He encouraged himself. I want you to know that is one of the greatest revelations for you to grab hold of in your walk with God. Is to be able to encourage yourself in the Lord. That we don't always, I want you to know that God wants you to get in His face. God wants you to walk in this anointing with Him. He doesn't want you just to walk in it with somebody else's anointing. Just to walk by with someone else's anointing that they have to get through it. And you see it and say, wow, that's awesome. But no. He wants you to encourage yourself to stand in the anointing that He's anointed you to have. Because you are kings and priests unto God. You are. You have a robe of righteousness with your name on it. You have a ring of authority. That God saved you to declare His will in the earth for. And He's put shoes on your feet to get to where you need to get to. Listen. It says, and in the Lord, His God, to encourage himself in the Lord, His God. His God. My God. Tell someone, my God.
My God.
Man, that's where we need to be, every one of us. My God. See, because it's those moments that David stood before a giant. His heart was trembling. Didn't know how it would happen, but he trusted God. It was in those moments that he learned to say, my God. My God shall supply all my needs according to what He has in glory. It was in the moment that David, that Saul threw the spear, that he recognized there, and he goes, it was my God that set me free. It was in every one of the victories that David felt where he was able to say, it was my God because of what he went through. It was in those moments, sometimes a separation. And it says, and David said unto the priest, he said, go get me the ephod. And it says, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue? And he says, shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue. And thou shalt overtake. And he says, and you shall recover all. Come on, would you stand to your feet? You shall recover all. Jesus says, I've come to save that which is lost. I want you to know from the Garden of Eden, the authority that God placed upon us was disrupted on earth. Jesus sent His Son, hallelujah, to disrupt it back to what was lost. To bring back what was lost. And that's the authority of understanding who I am. Right here, come on, right here, right now. Of what my prayers mean. I want you to know your prayers are everything. Our prayers, encouraging ourselves in God. Crying out to God when you're alone, when you're by yourself, when everything's coming against you, sitting in your car. I want you to know, hallelujah, I want you to know that heaven is standing on edge, hallelujah, as you're beginning to cry out to God, as you're crying out, you might not think anything's happening on the outside. I want you to know that just like I wasn't even aware of what was happening behind the scenes, hallelujah, but by faith, believing, God was doing something. God was intervening on that kid's life. Come on that other kid's life. On my life. He was reaching out. Hallelujah. Pushing that thing out of the way that it didn't pierce me. That it didn't take me out. He was dividing it and breaking it apart. That's what God wants to do in our lives. To take hold of it. So I just pray tonight that just surrender our hearts as we just sing that again. Come on, let's sing it again.
Hear it break out.
Come on, if you need prayer, I want you to come up here tonight.
Break the walls down.
Whatever you're facing, just right where you're at, just lift up your hands. Let God minister your heart. Come on. Come on, hallelujah. Let faith in our heart tonight. Come on, amen.
Heaven come down.
Let the anointing that's upon you, hallelujah. Stir you up, hallelujah.
Spirit break out.
Yes, hallelujah.
Break our walls now.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Spirit break out.
In the midst of it. Lord, Heavenly Father, I pray tonight to God, Lord, that each one of us, to God, Lord, that we walk as what you've saved us to be, kings and priests. Lord, that we just don't hear it, to God, Lord, but we begin to walk in it. A servant unto the Most High God. Servants unto your people, God. Hearts that are open, God. I thank you, God, Lord, that you've disrupted some things tonight. Hallelujah. You've disrupted some things tonight, and I thank you for it, God. I pray to God, Lord, that you receive the glory and the honor, God. I pray that each person here, as we walk out of here, God, begin to open our eyes to see you high and lifted up. Above all these things, God, let us walk in that anointing. And we'll begin to declare with all of our hearts that we are
the highly favored.
Let's do it one more time. Because your royal, royal ones say it louder than that. That we'll begin to declare that we are
blessed and highly favored.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, I want you just to take a second just to get to know somebody, bless somebody, pray with somebody, encourage somebody. Be a friend to somebody. Amen. Come on. Be a king and a priest to somebody. Bless somebody in Jesus' name. Bless somebody, encourage somebody, pray with somebody. Come on, amen, pray with somebody. Be the church.